Welcome, everyone. It's March 7th, and this is going to, it's a lesson that I call four-point rolling. So, lie on your right side, and lie in such a way that you can extend your bottom shoulder, which is your right shoulder, at shoulder height, your arm. Just extend it away from the body straight at shoulder height. Now, if you find you need support underneath your head, you can roll up a towel or put something so that your neck is comfortable. And then place your left palm on top of your right palm, so both arms will be extended at shoulder height. And let's begin an easy movement of just taking the left palm and lengthening the arm and caressing the palm forward. And then go back to your palm to palm again. It's a very simple movement of elongating the arm and then coming back. And in doing so, you'll find your fingers and your palm will caress the floor. Feel that surface. Back and forth many, many times. Notice when you lengthen the arm, what else goes along with it? Can you feel, first of all, that your shoulder blade or scapula slides along the ribs? Get in touch with that. That blade is free to move along the rib cage. That will give you a certain elongation of the arm. And then to continue the movement, if you bring your head and let your head turn a little bit and your chest turn a little bit and your belly get involved, the arm will automatically have more length, more ability to go forward. So you needn't do your max, but just feel that you can incorporate a little bit of the chest, the head, and the belly with this movement. If your belly's really stiff, it will block the lengthening of the arm. So come back to neutral and stiffen your belly as if someone's going to sock you in the belly, someone's going to punch you in the belly. So just stiffen right there. Maintain that stiffness and lengthen the arm. And you'll feel that it won't go as far. So just do that a few times to feel that pattern. And then consciously let go of the stiffening of the belly and see how the arm lengthens once you let go of it. Good. Rest your arms and just let the elbows bend. Just rest on your side. Now take your top leg, which in this case is your left leg, and lengthen the knee forward in relation to the bottom knee. So keep your legs are stacked one on the other, right? Your feet are stacked. Your feet are still going to stay pretty much one on top of the other. You're just going to slide the knee forward a little bit and then slide the knee back. And you do this movement by moving your pelvis, moving your belly, moving your hip. So even though I'm saying lengthen the knee, the outcome is that the knee lengthens, but it's really generated from the pelvis. Sometimes in this movement, I think of crickets rubbing their wings together, right? You're going to feel that the inner thighs slide against each other as the knee lengthens and then stacks back on the lower leg. The thigh will rub, the inner thighs sort of have a caressing on each other. That's it. And as you do this motion, not only go forward, but go back a little bit with the knee. So in other words, you take yourself forward and the knee lengthens, and you take some part of yourself backwards and the knee shortens. Now, your lumbar spine has the ability to arch and the ability to round. So can you feel when the knee slides forward, do you go more towards rounding or more towards arching? And as you slide the knee backwards, what happens in the lumbar, meaning low back? It's not a precise flexion and extension, and yet it's there. So where does your back widen and where does your back tend towards more arching forward? That's it. Good. Let all that go and just rest for a moment. Roll on your back. Take a rest on your back. There's going to be a moment in this lesson near the end where you access the power in your lower spine to make a movement. So we're just getting familiar with pelvis, hip, lower spine in that last movement. Go ahead and go to your side again. Again, lying on your right side, shoulders extended, arms extended, shoulder height. Your knees are bent and your legs are stacked, one on top of the other. Place your left hand on your right hand. That's it. Now open your eyes and gaze towards your left fingers. And making the arm straight as it is, without being so stiff, but straight, let the left arm lift to the left, which will be towards the ceiling. And as you do that, can you follow it with your eyes? And then bring the arm back down till it's palm to palm again. That's it. Follow it with your eyes. So it goes all the way up to the ceiling or 90 degrees to the left. And then you're always escorting it with the eyes. So when it's palm to palm, you have a little pause and then you open it, so to speak. It's almost like a door opening and then a door shutting. That's lovely. Now ask yourself, if you had an eye on your breastbone or on your chest, is that eye also following the fingertips? Or are you leaving that eye behind, looking straight ahead? So rest for a moment on your side. Keep your arms long. Now keep your head, chest, belly, legs all in the same position. And just move the arm all by itself up to the ceiling. And feel what that feels like to just have an arm in your self-image, up and down. Just feel the weight of the arm. Feel how comfortable that movement would be to do if you had to repeat it a lot. This is using yourself with your self-image pretty much just in the arm. You have a shoulder blade and you have an arm. Now, after you've done that a few times, just this is for comparison, let your eyes follow the hand and involve your chest. And see if, as you lift the arm, it gets lighter or more pleasant to do if you involve those parts of yourself. When it comes up to the ceiling, rest at the ceiling level for a moment. Follow with your chest. And you'll find if your chest has followed, you can drop the shoulder blade a little bit towards the ground. And I call that like the little nest, like your arm can be in a little nest. Can you reach your arm towards the ceiling and come out of the nest? And then just drop the arm vertical as it is into like a nest in a way. It just sinks. It's the shoulder blade going back and forth. Do that a few times. It's reach and drop with gravity and let that blade just drop back. Good. Let it fall with gravity. I mean, you can control it. Right. But you don't have to shove it back muscularly. It's more like a controlled fall. Yes. Good. Follow your fingers all the way back till they meet the other palm. Roll back onto your side. The ability for the blade to drop back into that nest, so to speak, is also a function of how differentiated your spine can twist. Ideally, this is not to make you press for it, but it's always lovely to know what's possible. Right now, as you're lying on the side, your hips are stacked one above the other, and that's making a plane, right? One could say a plane that's going up towards the ceiling, like a vertical plane. Ideally, a spine can twist enough so that your shoulders could each be lying on the floor with your pelvis maintaining this plane. That's an ideal spine, right? Most of us don't have that all, but we're cultivating some of that in this lesson. We're cultivating each vertebra to do its rotation that it can do. Now, not all vertebrae rotate exactly the same amount, but if they all do what they're capable of, it's ideally you can have a 90-degree plane between the shoulders and the pelvis. Is that making sense? Okay, maybe not making sense at all, but don't worry about it. Okay, bring your arm up to the ceiling. Follow it with your eyes. Chest. Lovely. Make a soft fist once it's up to the ceiling. And begin taking your arm and spinning it around its long axis. It's a little bit like screwing in a light bulb, except that you let the elbow spin. So it's not drawing circles or anything. It's just spinning, twisting. Mm-hmm. Twist the other way and twist the other way. That's it. And if you're looking, you can see that your thumb twists. You can see that. And your elbow also will twist a little bit. Now in this twist, one of the twists might lend itself towards reaching towards the ceiling. And one of the twists may lend itself towards sinking into that nest or letting the shoulder blade sink back down towards the floor. So start to explore the twist. And if you feel any degree of like, oh, that might be a lengthening reach towards the ceiling. And then, oh, on this twist, I could let it fall back towards the floor. Start to explore that. And can you remember which twist you're doing? Good. Open up the palm, follow it with your hands, and escort it all the way back to the other palm. Roll back to your side and rest. The next time we go up to the ceiling, we're going to do a soft fist again and explore the twisting, and I'm going to have you go to the pattern that you were doing before. So go right up ahead. Go ahead, escort it with your eyes. Make your soft fist once you're up to the ceiling and begin twisting the arm or turning the arm along its axis. And go back to the pattern that you were just doing where it turned one way and you lengthened, reached towards the ceiling, and it turned the other way and you dropped the shoulder blade, effectively getting the arm less away from the ceiling or shortening the arm. Yes. Once you have that pattern established, it's possible to do the opposite pattern. So could you try now the opposite twist? Twist the other way when you lengthen towards the ceiling and vice versa. Untwist the other way as you shorten. This is a function of your shoulder blade pistoning forward and back and something also happening in the chest perhaps. Now, one way may feel markedly more comfortable, but both are functions of the arm. That's it. Good. Undo your palm, like open up your palm and follow it all the way back down, palm to palm. Take a rest. Good. Roll on your back. Take a rest on your back. So the twist depends on what you want to do with your arm. If you want your arm to lock at the elbow and transmit a great deal of force, potentially, there'll be the twist that you would use to punch. So if you sit up for just a sec, all of you know how to throw a punch. So just sit up and choose that same arm, which I think is your right arm, right? And notice as you go, punch straight in front of you, there is a little bit of the twist like that. It would be called an inward rotation at the shoulder. Not that you need to know that, right? But if you twisted the other way with your palm up, you can feel that that would not be a decent punch, because your elbow wouldn't lock and the force would transmit very differently. Or if you had a bank door that tends to be really heavy, you know, any kind of heavy door, and you needed to push the door, there is an internal rotation because that gives you force. If you had to push a car, if you've ever had a stalled car, you know, and you know how you kind of get behind and you push, you're not really grabbing the fender with the palm up to push the car. No, you're pushing the car that way. Conversely, if you wanted to reach and grab something and bring it to your mouth, you're not always in the punch grab. Sometimes you're here. What if it were an orange on a high tree, high branch? You wouldn't be twisting the punch way to get it, because you'd be longer to twist the other way and pick that orange and bring it to your mouth. So just pretend you have an orange tree. Are you at home listening? So overhead reach to the side, pick an orange and bring it in. Go ahead and do that motion of your arm. So just kind of feel that and feel how that would be like that twist, right? Not necessarily this twist. Okay, so now you're going to go back on your sides, again on your right side. Roll to your side. Bring that left arm up towards the ceiling. Make a soft fist. And let's everybody do the punch twist, which is your internal rotation as you lengthen. So imagine as you reach towards the ceiling, it's a punch. And then twist the other way and kind of retract and drop the shoulder blade. Yes. Good. Now, as you reach towards the ceiling and you punch, could you roll your chest and your head forward? So you're not going to be looking at your hand anymore. You're going to reach and punch and twist. Now roll your chest and head forward very far. Roll, 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 roll. Good. And then roll back to look at your hand and come out of that twist. So it'll be almost like palm up. There you go. So you punch when you roll forward. You're no longer looking at the arm. Your chest and your head are rolling forward. And then you roll back as if to roll on your back. And you untwist your arm and you let it sink into its nest. Yeah. So here, you'd be like here. And then you'd punch. Roll your chest and your head. Beautiful. Then come back. Untwist, twist, 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 twist. Does that make sense? Yeah. You got it. So, we're losing sight of the hand as we punch. Yeah. How's it feel?
That feels good. I don't know how to kind of punch it.
It doesn't matter. It's not really a punch. You wouldn't do this when... I'm using the punch analogy because it gets you in the right twist, right? You wouldn't really be socking someone like that. But in doing that pattern, you probably feel a big, I don't know, spaciousness stretch along your pecs. I don't know how you want to describe it, but something in the chest getting involved. Good. Maybe you're tired. And if you are, you open your hand, you look at it, and you bring it back down. That's good. So we're going to do the same thing again. I'm just going to give it different words and maybe that will wake something up or you say, oh, now I understand what she meant. So go ahead and bring the left arm up to the ceiling. Make a soft fist. Now, I don't care what you do with the twisting and the lengthening. Just do the basic movement of rolling your head and your chest forward and then roll your head and your chest backward to look at the hand. So get the chest and the head going and then figure out when the arm wants to lengthen, when it wants to shorten, how it wants to twist. Basically, your arm is staying almost in a vertical cylinder. I mean, it has some bobble room, but the arm is staying somewhat vertical as you roll your chest and head forward and back. That's it. Gently find out. And your arm is going up and down in that vertical cylinder. Almost like an old water pump, you know, pistoning up and down. And it may be twisting. Twist it if it feels good. If not, don't worry about the twist. That's lovely. Take it from the chest. Roll the chest, roll the chest, roll the chest, roll the chest. Maybe the arm needs to go behind you a little bit. That's okay. Good. When you're tired, you simply look at the hand and then you escort it down so that it's palm to palm. That's it. Rest on your back. This is an interesting motion, no? Now you may feel, if you're resting, symmetrically that you have more ability to more freely breathe on one side of your chest than the other. Maybe one side of your chest feels bigger or more spacious. Maybe the shoulder blade feels different. Maybe the waist. Let's go ahead and be on our right sides again. Now, instead of stopping your hand at the ceiling, you're going to go past the ceiling. Almost if the ceiling were like 12 o'clock, we could make a big round clock. You go a little bit past 12, maybe to 1 o'clock. And then you bring both palms together again. And then maybe the next time you go to 1:30 or 2, right? So we're opening eventually the arm all the way out to the side, horizontally like this. But you're taking your time about it, right? You're bringing your chest and you're always following it with your eyes. Always, always, always. Knowing where the hand is. Now, if you are precise, there will come a point where you will feel the top knee, which is your left, start to slide on the bottom knee and or lift. That is when your twist in your spine has, in effect, maxed out at the moment, right? So I want you to notice where that is. Where is it that you're like, okay, here's where my leg kicks in. And can you all, once you notice where it is where your leg kicks in, can you hover there for a moment and go, this is where it is, where my leg starts to kick in. Now, let that knee lift and let the lifting of the knee allow the hand to go all the way to the floor. Good. Lift the knee. Yeah. And in fact, you can actually stand the foot a little bit. There you go. And then it's down to the floor. Now, you're all lying here with your top knee lifted and your arm now down to the floor. Now, we're going to do what I call seesaw. You're not going to put any power in the arm at all. It's all about the low back, the core, and the pelvis. You're going to take that knee and you're going to stack that left knee back onto the right knee, reaching it forward. And that will automatically lift your arm, but you leave the arm hanging, and then you lift the knee to allow the hand to go back to the floor. So the arm is completely passive, and you're seesawing with the power of the leg back and forth. Is that making sense? I'll say it again. So in order for your arm to go all the way to the floor, typically you have to lift the knee. And you let the arm do that, relaxed on the floor. And then you take that top knee, which is your left, and you launch it forward so it stacks over the right. In doing so, you'll find your arm will be lifted a few inches. And then you lift the knee, again, to let the arm go down. So the arm is completely passive, and you're using something in your belly and your back and your pelvis and your hips to do this. That's it. Yes. Back and forth, a little seesaw with the power of the leg. A seesaw meaning between the knee and the hand, basically. That's what I think of as the seesaw. And the fulcrum of power is in the pelvis. Yes, in the waist. Now the next time the arm lifts, let it continue to lift. Put some power in the arm and lift it all the way over till it meets the other palm. And you'll be lying on your side again. That's good. Good. Do that again. Open it up. There will be a moment where you'll feel it's time to lift my knee, and that will allow the hand to go all the way back to the floor. Once it gets there, fine. Then close the knee onto the other knee, stack them. That will begin the lift of the arm and then kick in with your arm. There you go. Good. And repeat that. So we only kick in with the power of the arm once it's lifted, once the leg has done its thing. I hope that's making sense. If not, you'll have more chance to explore it. Yes. That moment of seesaw. Ah, and then the arm, you bring it over. That's really good. The next time your arm is open and resting on the ground, simply straighten your legs and you'll be lying on your back with your arms out to the side. There you go. Just take a rest on your back. Okay, let's go ahead and roll to your left side. And organize yourself so your arms are at shoulder height, stretched out in front of you. Just get comfortable here. Your knees are bent. One is on top of the other. Relax your belly. And begin the movement of taking the right arm now and caressing it forward. No, on the floor. So it's just going to be that lengthening the arm forward and back. That's it. Lengthening the arm forward. And notice, as you do this, the shoulder blade will kind of skim along the rib cage. And then at the appropriate time, you can let your head roll and your chest roll and your belly become partly included in this movement. So there's a certain amount of movement that really is just the arm. It's just the shoulder blade, right? There's a certain amount. But then there's also a harmony with the rest of ourselves. That's it. So you make it comfortable. You make it feel lovely for yourself. Where in your back feels good as you elongate the arm. And you don't go more than feels good. More than feels organized. Good. Let your elbows bend in. Put your attention in the top leg, which happens to be your right leg, and make the movement of sending the knee or the thigh along the other thigh a little bit longer, a little bit shorter. So now you access the power in your pelvis to do that. Your feet stay relatively stacked. Yeah. I mean, they may move a little bit, but it's really not about lifting the leg. It's about doing something with the hip and pelvis and back. It's a little bit like a rolling movement, but it's kind of a precise rolling movement. Yeah. A little bit forward, a little bit back. So you feel that the knee doesn't stop at neutral. It goes ahead of the other knee and then passes through the stacking place and then goes a little bit behind, but doesn't lift. It's just stack. It's just rubbing like a cricket would rub. That's it. And feel the nature of your low back curve changing as you move the knee in this fashion. When does it go more towards coming forward or arching? And when does it feel like it goes more to going backwards and rounding? And you can include that area with this motion. That's nice. Powerful muscles make this motion, although we're doing it very delicately. Good. Please rest. You can roll on your back to rest. Do you feel your waist? Feel what we know in this country as love handles. You know what I mean when I say love handles? That area is so potent. If you can organize that area, you are well on your way to powerful movement. Good. All right. Come back on your side again. Let's put our attention back in the arm. Let's do the idea of escorting the arm towards the ceiling and following it with our eyes. And I say the eyes, the head turns when we do that and the chest gets involved. Back and forth. When it's palm to palm, you take a little rest. Some people, when they twist their spine, which, by the way, this is a twist, twist at like a couple of junctions and then stack and immobilize at several vertebrae. So it would be as if you had a string of pearls and each pearl could spin, right? Each pearl is supposed to spin. But what if you super glued three pearls together? Right, and they no longer spin independently of one another, but they just glom. So you'd have a place below those three pearls and above those three pearls, which will probably be a little overloaded. That's the mechanism of some of our spinal dysfunction and some of our pain, are places where we actually overload because places above or below are not doing their harmonious job. So this is an opportunity, actually, very interesting, to get you to pay attention to your whole spine. How does it feel to open the chest? And can you find that place of nesting? Can the shoulder blade drop? Once you get that shoulder blade to drop and feel that little drop, once it's vertical to the ceiling, that will help some of the ribs and some of the upper vertebra get the sense of independent spin on each other. There's a certain degree at each vertebral level that they can move independently. What about your jaw? How does that relate to this? Does the jaw release as you do this? Okay. Make a fist. Do you need a rest? Maybe have a rest. Have a rest, and then we'll do the fist thing. Yeah. Good. So soft lips, soft face, soft mouth, soft jaw. Bring your right arm up to the ceiling again, follow it with the eyes and make your fist, soft fist. Good, begin spinning around the axis. And you'll find with a spin, one of the spins might lead itself to lengthening, and one spin will lead itself to shortening. On the other arm, I had you lengthen and shorten without the spin. So on this arm, what I'd like you to focus on is that the spin itself leads to the intention of lengthening. And the spin itself, the other way, leads to the intention of shortening or withdrawing the arm a bit. So let the spin, and don't cut off the spin prematurely. You know, spin, 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 until you can't anymore. Not asking you to go to any painful level, but sometimes we cut the spin off prematurely just because we're not used to accessing the full spin. So here's your chance to see, oh, am I doing that? Or what does it feel like if I go that extra few degrees? Oh, maybe I get a whole different sense of my shoulder. We're spinning the ball in the socket here. Mm-hmm. Good. Can you change your spin? So lengthen on the other spin. Yeah, it's kind of confusing. What was I doing? Do you rush this way? If you're tired, you open your hand up, you escort it down with your eyes, and you rest. Good. Everybody rest. Open the palm. Bring it down to the other side. And there you go. Rest on your back. Roll onto your back. So when you go back, we're going to do the same motion again, playing with whichever spin you want to play with and then reversing it. I want you to have the intention of doing it in such a way that you're not ruining yourself in any way. So you're not tiring yourself, that you're in the spirit of curiosity and gaining information. And that it's like every time you do it, you just become a little more well-oiled. A little bit better at it. So really take care to use your attention in that manner and approach it with more of a quality sense than a quantity sense. Okay? I think there's belly dancing going on. I think it's belly dancing. They have the castanets and the tambourines, I think. Roll to your side again. So it's about your quality now. Do you need the heat on?
I do.
Yeah? Okay. So just for those of you who aren't doing it already, the arm is to the ceiling. You're a soft fist. And once again, you're spinning and you're lengthening on one twist of the arm and shortening on another twist of the arm. Then if you've established that very nicely and with the quality that you're satisfied with, see if you can establish the other pattern with a quality that you're satisfied with. Is your breathing continuing uninterrupted? Feel every single nuance. That's good. Rest. Open your hand. Look at it. Bring it down. Rest on your side. Now you'll bring the arm back up to the ceiling, following it with your eyes. Good. You can make a gentle fist. Now you're going to take your head, eyes, and chest and roll them forward. The head is going to look down into the pillow, i.e. looking left. And then you're going to roll your head, eyes, and chest backwards to see the hand again. So the arm is going to stay somewhat in its vertical column. And you're allowing the head, eyes, and chest to roll forward and back. Or if your orientation is such, it's actually right and left. Depends on how you're thinking of it. Chest. That's it. And if you want, you can add a lengthening of the arm up to the ceiling as you roll forward with the chest. And then a shortening of the shoulder blade towards the floor as you look at the arm and you roll backwards. And if a spin seems conducive with the arm, you can add a spin. That's lovely. Good. That's it. Good. Rest on your back. Come and sit in Indian style, or tailor sitting. Remember last segment we did this idea, we had both arms out at shoulder height. And we did the idea of twisting one palm up and one palm down. So let's twist the right palm down and the left palm up and look towards the left one. And then come back and do that again. Right, this was in the wringing your arms, or anyway, it's in a lot of lessons, but this is it. Okay, so rest for a moment. If you take the right arm out to your side and you make a soft fist and you roll the thumb downward, which is twisting in, keep going. Feel what would happen with your chest. Right? If you let your chest follow it, what's going to happen here? Is it going to stay forward or is it going to turn? What's going to happen? That's right. Keep twisting. Good, now come out of it. So it's not unlike the bully. I'm going to demonstrate with Lavinia here. The bully twisting, and I take her down. Right? She always goes down. Her chest will fall. You know, she'll turn first, right? So, can we watch you do the movement? Because you had a good demo of this. Can you go on your side? We're going to watch a student here with this idea of the arm up towards the ceiling. Go ahead and bring it up towards the ceiling. Lovely. And now soft fist. And we're going to go back to the movement with the demo of her rolling her head and her shoulder forward. There's a spin. And then roll your head and look at the arm. Now it goes down. So if I were really twisting her and twisting her and twisting her and twisting her, guess what? The arm starts to shorten again. And the arm lengthens. And then the arm shortens. Then the arm lengthens. Twist. And then whoop, it just fell off the hill. Right? So that's possible to get a shortening on either end of the spectrum here. In the middle, it's at its length and at its longest. So it's very similar to when the arm's out here. Here, it's shortened. If you watch where my hand is, right? Here, it's lengthened. And then, of course, if I do that, it shortens again. So this is the pattern. We're just doing it on our side. So go ahead and go back and explore that. Not to necessarily do that exactly, but notice that the lengthening and shortening of the arm depends on the spin and depends on what you do with the chest. So the cueing is, again, the arm is up to the ceiling, there's a fist. You're going to roll your head and chest forward and head and chest backwards. And you're going to let the arm spin, lengthen, and shorten as you do that. And the moment that it's right out to the side will be its tallest moment. If you're spinning it inward as you roll your head forward, it will shorten as the tip of the shoulder comes forward. As you're spinning it outward, it will shorten as your shoulder blade seeks the floor. That's it. Yeah, you feel that idea, don't you? Yeah, that's good, Maggie. That looks good. Yeah, you feel that? So that the arm can almost slide on either side of your rib cage in a way. Strange to think of it that way. That's it. And you lose. You don't look at that hand the whole time. There's a moment where you're not looking at it. Spin. It has to be spun for that to happen. If you're not spinning it, the shoulder won't do that. Good. Okay, rest. Let that all go and rest on your side or on your back. It doesn't matter. So some of that is a function of having a very free clavicle as well. Right? Letting that clavicle be very integrated with the whole shoulder complex. Okay, back on your side again. Remember we did the clock where we went a little bit past 12 o'clock. We're following the hand the whole time. So begin opening the right arm up to the ceiling a little bit past 12 o'clock. And then close it all the way down. You're taking your chest and your waist, everything with you as you do that, following with your eyes, the fingertips. And each time maybe you go a little bit more and you're looking for the precise moment. I mean, you can just go a smidgen more, but you're looking to eventually get to the place where you're like, that's as far as my spine. Those pearls are done twisting, and then I'm kicking in the hip or I'm kicking in the leg, right? There's a certain place where the knee will slide and or lift. And for most of us, it's way before the arm gets to the floor. If you're very precise about it, it's way before. Like, I'm going to make you be precise because I'm picking on you tonight. But if I'm just holding her knee, right? The moment you feel that knee start to slide, go, 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 go. Right there. That is where your pearls are maxed out. Believe it or not. Can you feel if I just hold you there and you hang? You'd feel some sort of a stretch, right? It's most of us, it's very far from the floor if we're really precise with it. So once you find the place, hover there for a moment and then let the knee lift. And the lifting of the knee will let the hand go down, just like we did on the other side. Good. And then you can play seesaw. You can make the knee stack on the other knee, and pelvis will lift the arm ever so slightly, and then you lift the knee. So we're making the arm be very passive here. So Maggie, you go all the way over. Good. We're just doing the seesaw thing. So leave the arm passive and just do your knee and your pelvis. Let the arm hang. That's your seesaw, right? So here, I'm sorry, I didn't cue that well. Let the arm hang.
Oh,
then you can't do that. Yeah. So you take care. You might, so someone's complaining that it hurts her shoulder. So you may not want to be fully out. You may want to be down a little bit. That may be a better plane. Yes? I don't know. You experiment. With a Feldenkrais lesson, you certainly don't want to be putting yourself in pain. So that means it's something we need to modify, something, because you can't learn in pain. Okay, if you've seesawed a few times, the next time your arm is out, just lengthen the legs and you'll be laying on your back. So I'm speaking to the student now that has the pain in her shoulder. You can always do a portion of this lesson. Maybe that first portion is all you want to do on this side, and then you visualize it, meaning kinesthetically feel it, but you don't actually do the movement. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Straighten out your legs. So that at the end of the lesson, you've learned something and you've gained. Sometimes when you're dealing with an injury, you can't just do everything. You know, you have to figure it out and take your time and err on the side of less rather than more if you're dealing with an injury. Good. Okay, so now we're going to put it all together and you'll find out why I call it four-point rolling. 4 points because it's arm, leg, leg, arm, right? It's in sequence like dominoes. And so you let one go, and then when the other one has to, it goes. And then when the other one has to, it goes. So you make delays in between, i.e. that excesses the twist in your spine when you make delays. So let's go ahead and lay on your left side. The first point of the 4 points is the arm. So you raise the arm towards the ceiling and a little bit behind. And when you feel you have to, you lift the knee. Good. Stand the foot. Let the arm go all the way down to the floor. Continue lifting that right knee, but not the left until the left has to. Open it up like a butterfly. And then when the left one has to, you lift the left one. It's seeking to stack over the right. It's going to seesaw up the left arm and then kick in with the left arm and place it on your right palm, and you'll find you're on your other side. Now, one thing that happens with this is sometimes when you're on your other side, you have to restack your knees. You have to bring your knees up a little bit. It tends to want us to straighten out the knees. So you might just kind of restack as you go. But you start with the arm. You find the place where you must lift the knee. And in doing so, that lets your hand go all the way down. Continue to lift the knee. Let it fall out so your knees are wide apart from each other. And then the other one, then the other one. There's a timing. And then you're in the seesaw part. And then eventually, as your hand lifts, then you kick in with the arm. And you'll find yourself on your other side. Yeah, that's a totally fine way to do it, if that's good for your shoulder. Yeah. So what this one student has figured out with the shoulder that doesn't feel so good, it's really hard for her to have it exactly out to the side. So she's just putting it by her side, and she still does the seesaw thing with the hip and the actual chest, but the arm is tucked in by her side, and that's working really well. It's still getting the spinal pattern without producing the discomfort. Good. So there's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, in a lot slower sequence than I just said. Until it has to. Until you cannot not move the other segment, okay? So feel it. Don't rush the timing. There's a timing where, it's its turn. Okay. It then has to go, and then you kick in with the other segment. That's it, meaning limb. Mm-hmm. So go as far as you can with one of the points until the timing feels that it's time for the second point to join. And then the second point joins. And it moves all by itself until the third point has to go. And there's a timing. Beautiful. Oh, great. Really opens the chest, this lesson. And then you kick in with the arm. Yeah, good. Rest on your back. Good. Get that all up.
Hello.
Hi.
It's warm
in
here.
It is. We have the heat on. Okay, and see how your contact is with the back of the floor, the contact with the floor. Feel how your shoulder blades are. The arms and how they connect. Yeah. Feel the condition in your chest now and the ability to take air or let air come in, actually. It's not so much you're taking air, you let air come in. Is there more space for that air to come in? Do you feel less bound somewhere? The condition of your jaw. Yes, and just lay there and see how you feel just laying here. Yeah. Okay, let's bring yourself up to standing. And come off the mat so you're on the floor. And just feel how you are standing. How the arms hang, how you are over your feet. What's the chest feel like? The rib cage, what's the waist feel like? What do the love handles feel like? It's Feldenkrais. Yeah, we're going to be done in a couple minutes and then I can chat with you if you want. Yeah. Good. And walk around a little bit and feel particularly how it is to your chest and how your spine turns as you walk. Is there a little twisting involved in your spine as your feet advance one in front of the other? And how do the arms hang in response to that? Good. And see, check the freedom of your head. Look all around and see how connected is your head to the chest. There can be, again, some delay time, like a lag time, like dominoes, and yet there's a connection. Yeah, you can skip. Someone just did more of a fast movement. It was kind of cool, kind of dance-like. Yeah, no one says that a lesson can't pop you out with a desire to move. Okay, so 4-point rolling, a fun way to roll. Thank you, everyone.